Today, as I said, is the Sunday of joy. But what does joy look like? How would you describe it? How might you paint a picture of it? You might picture a mother holding her newborn child. What about the shout of a fan when his team finally wins it all? Or maybe the huge grin on a groom's face as he captures a glimpse of his bride walking down the aisle on their wedding day. Or maybe it's just simply the smiles of little children. Joy, it's tough to explain and difficult to put into words. Yet when you see it, it's unmistakable. And when you feel it, it's unforgettable. We've all seen it. We've all felt it. So again, how might you describe this thing called joy? However we might describe it, we spend a lot of time and effort and money during this Advent season in our attempts to bring joy to those whom we love and whom we care about. And here's the curious part. Don't we find joy as we embark on the journey of bringing joy to others? We find Christmas joy in buying the right presents and stocking up on our family's favorite foods and drinks, purchasing those special clothes that express the joy we expect from this season. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, except there is an underlying sense in all of our efforts to enter into the joy of the season that we can create joy. And too often our attempts to create joy come at great expense to our bank account and our credit cards. Too often we emerge from the Christmas season with a sense that we've missed something, that the joy we sought or hoped to create has eluded us. Perhaps we need to reconsider our concept of joy. Maybe we're looking for joy in all the wrong places. And perhaps the prophet Zephaniah can help us find a new path to joy. Zephaniah is one of those underread and underappreciated Old Testament prophets. After all, how many of you can claim to have read the book of Zephaniah or even know who Zephaniah is? And I can understand why. His short book of prophecy begins with a brutally honest reminder to the children of Israel their need to repent and turn away from other earthly gods that they've been going after, that all of their temporary joys have been chasing will fade away, that the day of judgment will descend upon humanity like an avenging angel. Who needs to immerse themselves in that kind of rhetoric? But in the closing words of his prophetic message, which we heard this morning, Zephaniah offers an incredible picture, a beautiful glimpse of real faith-inspired joy. He speaks of a day when God will no longer deal harshly with people. He speaks of a day when God will no longer condemn people for pursuing false joys. He writes of a day when a new leader will have entered the midst of the people, a leader who will take them away from their fears. Zephaniah speaks of a day when people's greatest shame will be transformed into shouts of praise, because every sin they ever committed against God and one another, every issue in their past that they once thought separated themselves from God or from others, will be forgiven and remembered by God no more. There will be a day, there will be a time, Zephaniah says, when men and women will sing aloud and shout, where there will be glad and rejoicing in their hearts. This is true, authentic joy. And it will well up not as a result of our attempts to create it, our own efforts to buy and manufacture it. No, this lasting joy will flow from the fact that God has found joy in us. in you and in me. Real joy, faith-based joy, inspired joy, comes from knowing without a doubt that the Lord your God is with you, and that God is mighty to save, that there is nothing God can't overcome. It comes from knowing that God delights in you, and that God will rejoice over you with singing. For Zephaniah, God's day of judgment becomes a day of rejoicing and transformation. For those of us who follow Jesus, Zephaniah's day of judgment might well be thought of coming on Christmas Day. Jesus' birth, the entrance of that baby born in a Bethlehem stable into the world, proclaims that God has come into our midst, not as an avenging angel, but as a child whose love and compassion will bring joy to all people. In Jesus, God gives us an example of the path to joy that is available to each and every one of us. Joy that comes from knowing that God is with us. That true joy is experienced most profoundly through our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. That we do not create joy so much as we let joy take hold of us and share it with one another. The truth is that so much of what we like to label as life's joys are really just temporary pleasures, stuff that will come and go and make us feel good for a moment. As a result, most of us really live rather joyless lives. The reason might be simple. Rather than focusing on the true joy found in God's presence in us and among us, on the true joy that is experienced and shared among the fold of family and friends, we sell out for the simple pleasures that are often solitary and momentary. Now, this isn't to say that money and possessions or that parties and gifts is a bad thing. They are not. In fact, they're beautiful things. But to celebrate Christmas right, we must remember that they are just temporary things. We would do well to remember that the spending and giving at this time of year aren't themselves a means to our joy or a sign of our joy. Instead, they're the things we get to do when our hearts are full of lasting joy because of the love that God has for us in Jesus. And let me say that again. The things we do to celebrate this season aren't in themselves a means to our joy or a sign of joy. Instead, they are the things we get to do with our hearts when they are full of lasting joy because of the love of God that has been instilled in us by Christ Jesus. Or as one 10-year-old boy said when describing the joy that comes this time of year, joy is what's in the room with you at Christmas when you stop opening presents and listen. As Christians, what makes us different isn't so much what we do as if Christianity is simply about morality. It's who we are and where we find our joy, and how we share it. We believe that we have experienced what is true for all people, God's presence abiding with us and within us. And when we recognize that truth and make it the foundation of how we live our lives, we will not only experience joy, but find a burning desire to share that joy with all whom we meet. Joy begetting joy. From this perspective, joy-filled encounters are to be found in even the most unlikely places such as a restroom at an IHOP restaurant last night. My fiance Lynn told of an encounter she had with a mother who was trying to get her daughter, somewhat unsuccessfully, to wash her hands in the restroom. Sensing the little girl's reticence, Lynn playfully moved her hands under the faucet, which of course responded by gushing water. "It's magic," she blurted out and flashed a huge smile at the little girl, who started to giggle. And then Lynn moved over to the hand dryer, waving her hands under the nozzle, got a blast of hot air. "It's magic too," she exclaimed. The girl giggled again and said, "I want to make magic too." And the three of them burst into laughter. A moment of joy experienced in a restroom of all places, simply by sharing a bit of joy with one another. Joy begetting joy. It's that simple. Joy has encountered our Advent celebration and preparation. Joy that comes from knowing God's love in our hearts. Joy that comes simply from sharing who we are with one another. This Advent, may we become bearers of joy, rooted in God's love for us and helping others to know the same. For our real joy, Jesus is about to be born so that we might live and have true joy. Oh, come, let us adore him. Alleluia. Amen.